Welcome to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze, and this broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Today I want to speak to you about the fact that all ministry is body ministry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine anointing on the declaration of thy sacred word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's begin with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now there are many members, but yet one body." So the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians is crucial to our understanding of the function and ministry of the church. Let us have a brief look at some of the main points. The first point the Apostle Paul makes is that the Holy Spirit works differently in every church. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of infinite variety. Therefore, in each church where Christ is the head, he displays a different aspect of his gracious workings in the hearts of men. If there is monotony in a church service, it is likely that the Holy Spirit has been shut out. So here, Paul talks about diversity of gifts, differences of administrations, and diversities of operations. When the Holy Spirit leads, each local assembly takes on its own unique personality. Through this process, all hungry hearts are blessed, fed, and encouraged, and Jesus' presence will literally be in the sanctuary. Now, next notice that, my friend, every believer has received a gift to profit the whole body. And here are some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that were given to members of the body of Christ. To one, God gave wisdom, to another, knowledge, to another, miracles, to another, prophecy, discernment, tongues, or interpretation, to others. Notice that at the end of this chapter, Paul mentions another gift yet, and that's the gift of helps. Whatever gifts do not fall into the category of the nine mentioned earlier are in the area of helps. By far, most of us have been called to be helpers. Yes, I said helpers. The most important thing to notice about these gifts are, number one, God has no unassigned members in his body, not in one, and two, writing a generation after Pentecost, Paul does not say that all are given the gifts of healing, all are given the gift of prophecy, or all are given the gift of tongues. No. His language is to another, is given. Thirdly, Paul compares the body of Christ to a human body with its many parts. He points out the interdependence of each member of the body. He says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, is it therefore not of the body? And the eye cannot say, unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." No Christian can survive outside the body. Each Christian must contribute to the life of the body. Each Christian has something to give to the body. No exceptions. This is why God gave each one a gift to profit the whole body. This is why people need to go to church to give to the body. If you are not going to church, you are not giving to the body, which you're called to do, and you're selfish. And you suffer, and the body suffers. Paul then distinguishes the presentable from the unpresentable parts of the body, the visible from the hidden parts of the body. The visible parts of the body of Christ are those which are under the public eye, such as the ministries of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and workers of miracles, etc. We know when they do something, but we don't observe the ministries of the hidden parts of the body. In the human body, we don't see the liver, kidneys, lungs, and glands working. Yet these organs are more necessary than the visible parts. We can do without a hand or a foot, but not without a liver. We can do without seeing or hearing. We still can function, although we're handicapped, but if we lose the pituitary gland, we die. Many times you go to see the doctor because there's something wrong in the hidden parts with the organs of your body. When something is wrong in a church, when the church does not function properly, there frequently is neglect in the hidden parts of the body of Christ. Somebody in the hidden ministries is not showing up or is not contributing. Now, the greatest temptation the visible members face is in the area of pride. It doesn't take much for pastors, preachers, and evangelists to boast about their spiritual accomplishments, their education, the churches they've built, the countries they've preached in, the people they've led to Christ. But the greatest temptation of the hidden parts of the body is belittling themselves. But note that those who are in the invisible ministry are generally the ones who are doing the sowing and the watering. Without them, there is no harvest. Look at the story in 2 Kings chapter 5 of the healing and conversion of Naaman the leper. This Syrian general would never have found Elisha or had been healed if there had not been a little maid in the background in the hidden ministry. This little Jewish slave girl built up her spiritual credentials day after day, year after year, and so she prevailed in prayer and gained favor with Naaman, so Naaman would end up in the house of Elijah the prophet, who then told him what to do to be healed. So all Elisha contributed to this miracle is one sentence. Here's another story. Then look at Rhoda, another simple maid in the book of Acts. She was the only one who believed in her prayers to free the imprisoned Peter. Could it be that it was her prayer alone that caused his release? Could it be that without her, there would be no epistles of Peter? Friend, you may not get any honor for your hidden ministry in this world, but if you're faithful and devote yourself to it with the same degree as an evangelist, your reward will be no less than that of an evangelist who sweeps thousands into the kingdom of God. Because Jesus said, "He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cool water shall in no wise lose his reward." So the little ones here were Jesus' apostles, little by reason of their lack of processions, recognition, learning, and gifts. To receive a prophet means, number one, to believe him whom God has sent, and number two, to take care of him. The lack of power in the pulpit is often the result of people in the pews belittling themselves. These laymen do nothing because they feel inadequate or they become sloppy and unreliable. Just as it takes dozens of men working hard on the ground to get each fighter plane into the air, so there need to be dozens of hundreds of people in the hidden ministry who believe in and support a pastor so that he can, quote, fly, unquote. Somebody needs to fuel the plane, and somebody else needs to sweep the hangar, regardless as to how they feel and what else is going on in their lives at the time. What would you do if your minister would be unreliable or sloppy? In Jesus' parable of the talents, the servant who received one talent was held to the same strict accounting as the one who received five. Watch it. Do not belittle your gift or calling to ministry. Do not be an unprofitable servant, or you will be cast into outer darkness. Had the people of Nazareth given Jesus a cup of cold water, that is, had they supported him, Jesus could have done as many miracles there as he did in Capernaum. Each one of us is responsible for what comes from the pulpit. Believe and give that cold water as long as you live. Do not drive your men of God into a secular job, as the early church did to the Apostle Paul, making him a tent maker. So overall, the public ministry's effectiveness depends on the hidden ministry's commitment to the servant God sent them. Again, do not belittle yourself. You are important. Gideon belittled himself, but God called him a mighty man of valor. Shake off defeatism and discouragement and be cleansed in the fountain of God. Believe, obey, and get with it. Elijah also belittled himself when he moped under a juniper tree. Jeremiah claimed to be too young for the work of God. Watch it, teenager. Don't say, they have no need of me. That's of the devil. No, let no man despise your youth. All ministry is body ministry. When one member suffers, all suffer. When one is honored, all are honored. Look at how Jesus honored the hidden ministries. Look at how he spoke of the woman who anointed him with oil for his burial. Look at Jesus as he raised Lazarus, a common man, from the dead, instead of John the Baptist, who had a great public ministry. Further, why did Peter raise up Dorcas, raise her from the dead? Dorcas, the seamstress, instead of James the Apostle? Is it because to Jesus, the hidden ministries, the little things, are just as important as the public ministries? Of course. God has no second-class citizens. Finally, notice how Paul ends his Roman letter. He lists 28, mostly lay people, who were still fighting with him the great fight of faith. These were nobodies in the world, but mighty men of valor for God. Friends, what riches we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 on the ministry of the body of Christ. I've given you a few thoughts. Study it for yourself and find your place in your local body of Christ. Father, we thank you for this time together. Bless it to all of us in the name of Jesus. And goodbye until next week.